KC Go calendar is a partnership between Arts KC and KKFI in support of arts in our region. See the full calendar at kkfi.org/artskcgo.
This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Happy St. Patrick's Day. So happy that you're here with us. We've got a great lineup. We've got Bobby Joe Reed, Donna Jones, and Justin Ikerionowo. They'll be joining us today, so stick around. We'll be right back. So happy to have you joining us today, either online at kkfi.org, where we stream live audio, and or your smartphone or whatever else. We're happy to have you with us today. Also, I want to mention that today's guests include Bobby Joe Reed and Donna Jones. We're going to talk about the movie, the documentary, Bobby Joe Under the Influence, which tells the incredible true story of one woman's journey through addiction and homelessness to recovery and renewal. Bobby Joe Reed is a hero and a mother to the broken, forgotten, abandoned, and abused. One by one, Bobby Joe reaches a hand down into the darkness and pulls her children into the light. With love, a hug, a safe place to live, and a program for recovery, Bobby Joe has helped thousands of homeless addicts off the streets, rehabilitating lives and transforming a community. So we do have Bobby Joe Reed on the phone. Also, we have the producer of the documentary, Donna Jones. We have them both on the line today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Terrific.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet. You know, this movie was heartbreaking, beautiful, and inspiring. One of the things I want to start off with is the comment at the very beginning of the movie. I believe, Bobby Joe, you say, we never think that we will never go to the level of someone else's in terms of their addiction. That was such a beautiful statement, and it rendered so many different feelings, from me about this, that I think, yes, it's true. We don't consider ourselves one of them. So let's talk about how what your story is and how this documentary came to be.
Okay. I was in my addiction for 22 years from the time I was 12 years old. And it ended up, and this, that's all in the movie, but it ended up being a horrific story where I was homeless and being trafficked. And when I would be really severely beat up, I would live under the boxes on the back of semi truck. They would park those boxes next to a liquor store, and I would see underneath those. And, I mean, I became an it, is what happened, because right. you become invisible to people. But when I finally, it's been 25 years ago, almost 26, I went to a detox and into treatment. And what I learned, I started doing service work right away, trying to help other people. And what happened was I seen that there were 900 women going through inpatient treatment in our city every year. Every year. And so there were less than 30 safe beds for the women once they got out of treatment to change their life and do something different and live somewhere different. And so my heart it started going out to single women, because people that had kids, there was a lot more, a lot of people are much more compassionate when you have a child involved. So I really started it for single women that had lost their kids or were out there on their own, because, you know, with addiction, there's this awful judgment that comes with it. And, you know, my mom used to say this comment, and I hated it: you made your bed, now you lay in it. And I thought, you know what, that's not what people need to hear. They need encouragement. And so I really started with buying an old nursing home in the inner city, and the women started coming. And we became full quickly. And a lot of this is in the movie. But anyway, so 2 months after I got the first house, the drug dealer moved in right next door. He started running prostitutes and selling drugs, brandishing a weapon to us. So I claimed, I called the police the first couple of times with no response. So then I figured I better go to a higher authority. So I prayed and I claimed his house in Jesus' name, and a year and a half later, we got the dope man's house. And so it's kind of just went from there. We currently have 14 homes. We have apartments. We have commercial buildings for recovery meetings and Bible studies, and just fantastic. I don't want to just keep going. I could.
Sure.
I don't want to give it all there, but so currently we serve 200 adults every day with safe and beautiful houses and homes and apartments, and around 30 children every day.
Wow.
And so it's been well over 8,000 people that we have served in the last 20 years.
And I think you're being really humble, and I know we're not going to go into full detail about the documentary, because it is really a powerful film. I think so many people should be inspired and be, you know, sort of a call to action in terms of, you know, what we can do to help our fellow citizens. But one of the things that really struck me was, and I hope you don't mind me mentioning this, that when you started going to the meetings and all that, and you would bake bread and pastries and all that, but not necessarily for yourself to gain income, but to buy hygiene products for these women who are homeless and addicted and all that. And I just thought, oh my gosh, that is a powerful, you know, statement. That's a powerful, you know, thing to bring to the community.
Yes. Yeah, it happened pretty generically. I mean, I had something called Crohn's disease, so I would work when I could. I'd bake stuff, and then I'd sell it out at the flea market. But I could never forget when I got out of the treatment, the 5 days of detox, there was no toothbrushes, no toothpaste, no soap to wash up with, nothing. And so that really broke my heart, because these are people coming right off the street or right from using. And so when I got out, I started going to that flea market, and I found there were people there that would sell the little tubes of toothpaste for, like, hotels and little bars of soap. And so I started buying those. And then if I had any baked goods left over, I would take all those down to the detox, and I would share the baked goods with them and the hygiene products, and you would have thought I was giving them $1 million. And I would sit on the bed, and I talked to them about what I had been doing. It was like 18 bunk beds in one unventilated room.
Wow.
I have a gal, It was awful. But you know what? I've been sober ever since. But a girl from there always said that I saved her life with a chocolate chip cookie.
Oh,
and because when she was laying in that bed, she was all beat up and her eyes were swollen shut. And I went and I talked to her and told her there was a different way. And I shared these homemade chocolate chip cookies with her. And she remained sober until the time she passed away. But she said, you know, your chocolate chip cookie saved my life. And she said, I didn't get it immediately. But when I was out in the street, all I could think about is you bringing homemade cookies into me and caring about me. So that I did it at first because it made me feel good. And then it just became the next right thing to do. And God put a calling on my heart that was my mission and that's what I'm supposed to do with my life. So I've never looked back.
Well, I believe it's Pastor Darrell that said that God saved you for a reason. He saved Bobby Joe for a reason. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. And another comment that he made was, until you see someone clean, you don't know you're dirty. Or was that
right.
A comment that you made? But at any rate, I think perhaps because of your experience and what you had gone through, you could connect with each and every individual that came to your door. I know that it was also stated that addiction is enslavement, and you became an it. And that was heartbreaking to hear. But I also understand, you know, the meaning behind that and you know, could empathize with that.
Yes. And that's the truth. I mean, when we get out there and we're in our addiction, anything goes. I mean, you almost turn into primal instincts where it's dog eat dog. And, you know, I'm the most blessed woman, and my story is horrific, and I know that. But I also know that God preserved my life through all those times. And I know that when I started helping people, it changed me on the inside. And I am the most blessed woman. I get to live into my purpose every day, the reason that I was created. And yes, I tell you what, I've showed the movie several times to a lot of the people that live here, and they do movie nights and stuff and watch it, and everybody's just floored. They're like,
yeah.
Well, they call me Mom, but they're like, Mom, I can't believe, I don't see that anymore. I don't see that broken person. Here's a very awesome thing is that I've never met anybody that was more screwed up than I was.
Wow.
So that means there's hope for everybody.
Yeah. I love that message that it inspires. And there is hope. If you just joined us on Art Speak Radio, I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm talking to Bobby Joe Reed. We're talking about her documentary, Bobby Joe Reed, Under the Influence, and executive producer Donna Jones, who did a beautiful job of bringing to light Bobby Joe's story. So thank you for that, Donna. I'm sure, you know, in her story, it's like, where do we begin? Because it's such a beautiful and action-packed story in terms of, you know, what a individual goes through in their lifetime.
Right. And, you know, when we had my husband and I are a filmmaking team. He's the director. I'm the producer. And we had the very good fortune of meeting Bobby Joe and hearing her testimony. And it's just such a remarkable story. And, you know, it really just fell on our hearts that it was a story that we needed to tell. And we need to share this with the world. And people need to know that, you know, as much as they need to understand the problem that's out there with people struggling with substance use disorder, I think that people need to understand that there are solutions out there as well. And there are people that are living this life that Bobby Joe is living. And, you know, she is... What makes her so remarkable is that it's not only her and her passion and her message and how she's choosing to live her life, but she is literally passing this on to thousands of people. It's like she's building a little army for good in Northeast Kansas City, and that is filtering through those individuals into their community, into their families, and it's like she's just sort of this whole pay it forward and this idea of mm-hmm. reaching down and reaching back and leaving no one behind. I mean, it's just such a remarkable story, and we really felt that it needed to be told.
Well, it is just a beautiful movie, documentary, and, you know, I do want to mention that to learn more about the film, you can follow at the Bobby Joe Movie. Also, pre-order the film now at www.thebobbyjoemovie.com. And, I think it's a film that even should make the rounds in the education departments of different yes. school districts and all that, because a lot of times I think we just kind of cluck our tongues and go, oh, that's a shame. Oh, you know, that, you know, why don't they get a job? Why don't they just, you know, quit, you know, drinking or whatever? And, you know, it doesn't have any of that. Let's, you know, penalize these people. Let's help them. You know, let's show them a way. And I think it's so powerful, especially when you realize that this could be anyone's story. This happens right. every day, you know.
Yes. Yes. And it's not just localized here, obviously. This is a problem that's happening yeah. all across our nation in every city and town. I think it is, you know, time that we stop sort of brushing this under the rug. And you know, this addiction is something that people don't necessarily want to talk about at the Thanksgiving right. dinner table. But right. it is affecting so many families and individuals. And it's time to sort of, you know, maybe do it out loud. Maybe, you know, start sharing, talking, realizing that there's strength in the honesty and mm-hmm. the brutal honesty of what Bobby Joe is saying.
I think that's one thing that my daughter and I discussed was the honesty of this documentary, the honesty that which Bobby Joe spoke of your experiences. And oftentimes we do kind of either want to hear the sugar-coated version or we don't mm-hmm. want to hear it at all. So I was really grateful for your frankness in that. And I can tell listeners that to understand Bobby Joe's story, we must first meet the woman who knew a time in which she was just as lost in the darkness as any individual she has helped. Addicted to alcohol and drugs, she lived on the street and prostituted her body. She was kidnapped, beaten, raped, cut open, and left for dead. When it couldn't get any darker, Bobby Joe turned her life around. So, and since 2002, right, Healing House was
yes.
founded?
Yes.
And that is a recovery house and support system since, again, 2002. And it had some really wonderful beginnings that I discovered in this documentary.
Yes.
Let's see. You first started with, what, the Pink House?
Yes. Uh-huh. And it's called Mama Judy's House now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And throughout the documentary, you understand some of the other sort of components of this support system and recovery. That it's the first house of healing was the Pink House, and then there was the Purple House.
Huh?
And that was the one that was the drug dealer's house, is that right?
Yeah.
The dope house?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And although you initially started out working with women, you have gone on to houses for men, Wesley House and Agape 1 and 3, Cornerstone, to mention a few?
Yes, absolutely. And that was all a God thing. I was helping women. We got the dope man's house. Women kept coming and coming. Then, you know, a big deal was when pregnant women were coming and we couldn't really support in our space. We couldn't really support women with babies. And so, you know, I kept peeking in the windows of the apartment building off St. John. It was a block from that place and I needed it. And so that was really cool. The houses over there, the Pink House and the Purple House, started appraising for a lot of money because I fixed them up. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But I got this 14-unit apartment building.
Yeah.
So when the women would come, they'd stay in the first house. Then they would go to have their baby. We would have a fully furnished apartment ready for them and their child when they came back from the hospital. And, you know, it just one thing after another. And the guy, I don't know if you've heard, I'm sure you've heard of the guy, We Buy Ugly Houses.
Yeah, yes.
On the signs, right. So he called me out of the blue. I'd met him in a barn at a clothing sale a year and a half prior. And he calls me and he said, hey, I think I got a house down there nearby you. Everything I try to do with it falls in. So would you go and see what you think? And I said, well, I think I don't have any money. Now what do you think? And he said, well, I'll give you the house if it would work.
Wow.
And that house was kind of even in a rougher area. Mm-hmm. And so I knew it would have to be men, not women living there. So, you know, the Lord has continued to expand what we do and who we do and what we do. So, yeah, I never thought, you know, I thought I was going to help 10 women in their recovery journey every year. And now it's 200 a day.
Wow.
And so my mind was kind of small opposed to that. And then we have a recovery community center that's open to our whole city Monday through Friday. You could come in there and use computers. I have a job specialist in there. I have trauma-informed care counselors there, resource director. And so people can literally just come, and any help that they need, it's free.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to take a real quick break. I have a couple of announcements to air, and then we'll be right back with Bobby Joe Reed and Donna Jones.
The 10th Voice is Kansas City's LGBTQ plus radio magazine. Every Saturday at 1 p.m., we feature a different host with interesting guests talking about a wide variety of topics that affect our community. Tune in Saturdays at 1 or stream us live at kkfi.org. The 10th Voice, because we refuse to be silent.
Lollapalooza is an online event that will help KKFI volunteers learn how to become more engaged with the station, even during these pandemic times. Breakout sessions will allow you to focus on topics that interest you the most. Lollapalooza is scheduled for March 20th at 3 o'clock p.m. Register online today at kkfi.org/VOLAPALOOZA or call 816-994-7864 for information.
And we're back. This is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm talking to Bobby Joe Reed and Donna Jones. We're talking about the documentary Bobby Joe Under the Influence about Bobby Joe Reed and executive producer Donna Jones. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies. You know, I want to ask about COVID and how that affected the number of people that came to you at Healing House, Bobby. Did the numbers go up or
yes.
what
yeah. We served 1,138 people last year, which is much higher than normal. We usually serve around 700.
Wow, I can just imagine. And if I could, I'd like to mention the website to Healing House, which is healinghousekc.org. Oops. I think we lost Bobby Joe. You know, we're going to take a real quick break and while we get her back, and we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio.
Hey!
Columbia Celtica while we wait for Bobby to call back. And, you know, life happens. And this is live radio, so we're glad that we've got her back on the line with us. So thank you, Bobby Joe, for calling back. So the numbers did increase during COVID. And what about now?
Now we're still full. I do want to say during COVID, though, I believe the increase in folks that we served is because a lot of the local shelters closed down and they weren't admitting people.
Yeah.
And so we would, you know, our mission never stops, no matter what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so we were getting ready to open up a gym. And what I did, because it was really put on my heart not to let people go directly into the houses. So in this gym area, we set up 8 beds with chairs and nightstands, and then I hired staff, and people would stay there. They would have their temperature taken and checked before they went into the houses. So it's kind of like a little COVID triage center where they would spend 48 to 72 hours before they went to the houses, because we just didn't. I mean, we've been very blessed. I believe we've had 25 cases of COVID in the last year, and most of those were people that were working jobs that got it on their job. But 25 serving 1,138 people, I think, is really good. We implemented lots of safety regulations, sanitizing the homes. Really, we just went, you know, we converted things to Zoom meetings and Zoom calls. It's been expensive for us to make a lot of the changes, but we were able to do it, and there's never one day that we stopped serving people in our city.
You know, we're so grateful to you, Bobby Joe, and, you know, and I want to say that it's unfortunate, and I feel bad of what has happened in your life previously, but it has been a mixed blessing in sorts for not only you, as we see through the documentary, but, you know, for others that you help serve here in Kansas City. I want to thank you for your dedication and your compassion for others. HealingHouseKC.org is the website for more information. You can find whatever you need there, information about support services and all that, the history and whatnot, to learn more about the film, follow at the Bobby Joe Movie or BobbyJoeMovie.com. And again, thank you, Executive Director Donna Jones, for your beautiful vision of this documentary. And it's just been a real delight to talk to both of you today. And I hope to meet you in person sometime soon.
I would love that.
That would be lovely.
Anytime you want to come down, we're good.
Also, you know, if again, with the website, healinghousekc.org, if there's anything that their organization needs, you may find it there, or also to donate to their support their cause. So,
amen.
That's
amen.
Great.
Thank you so much.
You bet. You bet.
I'd also like to just quickly mention that the film is now widely available on most streaming platforms and on demand.
Right.
And for a list of those platforms, you can go to our website, which is www.thebobbyjoemovie.com. But, you know, in most places where you would go and download movies, you'll find us there. You just got to search for us.
Well worth searching and viewing this movie, Bobby Joe Reed, Under the Influence. And we thank you so very much for being on Art Speak today.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
You bet. And we're going to be right back with the program right after this.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes of a movie currently playing in theaters or streaming.
Moxie is a teen comedy drama focusing on issues of sexual abuse and awakening feminism in a high school setting. It's based on a novel by Jennifer Mathau, and Amy Poehler is the director. She also stars in the film as the mother of one of the key characters.
Moxie is a likable, if only modestly successful, YA movie that benefits greatly from its amiable cast.
This coming-of-age story features Hadley Robinson and Patrick Schwarzenegger as heroine and villain. By the way, Schwarzenegger is son of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver. The plot shows the growing awareness among the girls of how they are victims of discrimination.
Robinson plays Vivian, an introverted 16-year-old girl who just tries to get along. However, a new classmate arrives who shakes up her let's-not-make-waves worldview. Vivian is inspired to anonymously create an underground magazine called Moxie that addresses the sexism, racism, and injustice she sees at her high school.
Girls of color join her, and pretty soon all the girls in the high school are behind her. The story is engaging, and the issues are heavy-duty, but they're only given a light touch. Dark moments are interspersed with bits of comedy and rousing music.
The movie's heart is squarely in the right place, even if all the puzzle pieces seem a bit too obvious.
I have to say, this film made me think of the students at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School who mobilized and began standing up for their rights following their school shooting in 2018. I think it was all in all a worthy film.
Moxie is an amiable tale of female empowerment. I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. Thank you so much for joining us on Art Speak Radio at 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for joining us online at kkfi.org as well. I want to introduce our next guest, Justin Ikerianwu, and he is with AltCap, Alternative Capital for Community Impact. And we're going to talk about their mission and what they have to offer the community. And I want to welcome you, Justin. Hello.
Hey, Maria. Thank you for having me.
And I apologize if I butchered your name, but we're going to talk about AltCap. And you are the business development officer of AltCap, and it's a catalyst for investments in capital and resource-starved communities in the Kansas City region through the delivery of accessible and innovative financing products, targeted small business and economic development programming, and the development of strategic partnerships that promote inclusive and equitable economic growth. So we're going to talk today about a relief and recovery for small business. Is that right?
Yes, it is. That's been our focus pretty heavily since COVID had started about this time last year.
Yeah. Yes. So let's talk about this. About AltCap. Tell us more about it.
So AltCap, Alternative Capital. We started as a community development entity, really using our ability to place capital into areas that are more deprived of and more low to moderate income areas, being able to get capital in the hands of businesses and moving them into different areas that have been heavily affected. We started using our capital to really open up opportunity for business owners who have had a hard time accessing capital from more traditional financial institutions, whether that be banks or credit unions. AltCap were a community development financial institution, a CFI for short, and organizations like us do just that, helping businesses access capital to be able to achieve their goals and build up their business, but not only just their businesses, but the communities that are heavily affected by those businesses as well.
Right. And you also have a business advisory team, right, of leading accounting, tax, and advisory services to help provide services for people in the community. Let me see. Apply now for KC. And also, I'm reading from the information that I was sent. Apply now for the KC Region Small Business Relief and Recovery Loan. Can we talk about the application process for that?
Yeah, so the application for the relief and recovery loan, mostly our application process always starts the same. It's mm-hmm. really conversational with the business owners, just getting a good understanding of what it is that they're going through, what their needs are, especially during this time. To get things started, we ask that all business owners who are interested in having conversations with, whether it be myself in business development or some of my colleagues, that they go to our website at alt-cap.org and put in an intake form. From there, we'll be able to assess some of their needs up front, prepare us for the conversation that we're looking to have with them and take it from there. Whether it be right now, we're really focused in on that COVID relief, that small business relief fund, but also with the Paycheck Protection Program. So dependent on what it is that they're needing and which direction that they'd like to go in, that really helps us to kind of lead the conversation and get them the best help that's needed.
Right. And now the applications for the first time and second time Paycheck Protection Program borrowers, that has started this month, or I have a date of last year, but when does that begin to when do you start sending in applications for that?
So those applications are actually open now.
Okay.
We are accepting applications for the Paycheck Protection Program through ALTCAP up until March 23rd.
Okay.
I believe the SBA's date for the cutoff is March 31st. There has been some conversation about the extension of the Paycheck Protection Program. We haven't heard anything concrete yet, so we're just keeping our eyes out as a community development finance institution here in place to help businesses get the funding. So as we hear more, we will, like always, communicate that with the community and those who we've worked with. But the application process is open. We've actually implemented a project management tool called LenderFit to help us streamline that process. And it makes it a lot easier for business owners to communicate not only with us, but communicate any of the needs that they might have or corrections that they need to make, because the SBA's Paycheck Protection Program applications are very specific in needing to be in line with some of the guidelines that they've put in place to be able to get it through their SBA portal. So we try to communicate that through LenderFit. It also allows us to collect any documentation that they need to turn in, and really make the process a lot smoother, a lot less hands-on for everyone included. So we'll be able to, again, after a business owner puts in an intake form and has that conversation with us, we can send them a invitation to the platform just based on quick conversation to gauge their eligibility for the program.
Oh, that's great. I want to mention that ALTCAP is an affiliate organization of Community Capital Fund, a nonprofit that invests in innovative and measurable asset-based community development and equity, too, an impact investment firm. So your service area not only covers the Kansas City region, but you specify a focus on what, Jackson, Clay, Platte, and Cass counties?
Yeah, so ALTCAP, as CDFI, our 7-county service area, spans between the Kansas side and the Missouri side of the metro. Okay. On the Missouri side, we're in Jackson, Cass, Clay, and Platte. And on the Kansas side, we're in Wyandotte, Leavenworth, and Johnson County. We've also, in the recent time, we've been continuing to build our relationship with our partners down there in Miami County to expand some of the products and the technical assistance that we have under our wheelhouse to their businesses in that area as well.
Great. And www.alt-cap.org is the website. Don't go away, Justin. I need to air some announcements, and we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio.
Support for KKFI by the Johnson County Museum and their current exhibit, Thrift Style. On display now until May 1st, this exhibit focuses on sustainability by featuring nearly 4 dozen examples of the collision between commercial waste and homespun ingenuity, including clothing and home goods dating back to the 1920s. You can learn more about this exhibit and the museum's enhanced cleaning and safety protocols at jocomuseum.org.
KKFI offers you a challenge, a classical challenge. Every Wednesday from 9 to 11:30, we give you seldom heard and sometimes brand new classical music. Innovative, exciting, and always beautiful. The Classical Challenge, right after American Roots and before From Arc to Microchip. Wednesdays at 9 on KKFI.
Thanks for tuning in. ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. I am talking to Justin Ikari on Iguirianwo, and he's with AltCap, and we're talking about different ways to help the community in terms of our finances and loans, recovery loans, and that sort of thing. But I want to talk next about Next Stage KC, which is a development training program focused on assisting minority and women entrepreneurs to expand their existing business and achieve new levels of growth to support and promote a more inclusive local economy. This is a new program, Justin, or has it been around for a bit?
So this is a program that has been around for a little while through the Interise Streetwise MBA. It uses that curriculum. It's a program that my colleague, the business development officer, director, Davin Gordon, has been really close to and working with one of our colleagues, LaDonna Gooden, to manage and work with all of the business owners who have been a part of the classes. Going through learning different areas of their business, getting connected to people who could be mentors and just teach them different things, getting them the connections that they'll be able to use now and in the future. It's one that they've really appreciated, I think, just how close they've been not only to the curriculum but to the other business owners and being able to learn from one another through the program.
Wow, that sounds great. And we do love our Davin Gordon, known him for a number of years. And so shout out to Gavin, Davin. Yeah, that sounds really wonderful and a great opportunity for women and minorities to really take be a part of this program. What does an individual need to do to submit or apply for these programs?
So the applications, there is an information session today at 4:30. To join us, you would just need to go to interise.org/altcap and put in your application, and we'll be able to get in contact with you about the upcoming class for Next Stage KC.
And when will the next class begin? Is that fairly soon?
Yes, let me get the next class should be starting here in the spring. Mm-hmm. Do believe that it should be starting here within the next month or so. Definitely check out our website. Again, alt-cap.org or interise.org/altcap for more information.
Now, how long has AltCap been around? Because I do remember having Davin on the program. It's been a few years, but I didn't have the sense, when the organization was founded.
Yeah, so AltCap's been around since 2012, started as a CDE, working to use new market tax credits to move those businesses into certain areas. We got the designation as a CDFI through the U.S. Treasury so that we could use our portfolio on that side to put out the microloans that we've been able to help businesses use to build sustainability but also move their businesses forward.
You know, I want to mention that AltCap is committed to delivering accessible financing to support job-creating small business investments and catalytic community-focused real estate development projects. And it's really important during this time. Is that right, Justin?
Yes, it is, especially during the time of COVID, being in a position to help businesses and go through conversations with them that are just maybe outside of financing and maybe they just need someone to bounce ideas off of. A lot of times we say that we're more so a friend and a business partner in certain instances where they just want to have a conversation and maybe talk through some of the hardships that are going on during this time, but also sit down and have conversations with people who could either help with the financing or we can use our unique positioning as a CDFI between stakeholders, banks, and other financial institutions, as well as those people on the ground level, to get them connected to who could be a resource to help push them forward.
Justin, who is a good fit for AltCap? Because I know that, you know, we're talking about small businesses and all, but Would this be something that a person who is looking to open up a business is something that they should or could be interested in potentially?
Yeah, because we are unregulated in the same way that some of the other financial institutions, more traditional financial institutions, I should say, are, we are able to kind of put together our own situations as far as underwriting and how we take a look at our at the loans that we do and which businesses that we can work with. So we're really well positioned to work with startup companies. We really don't have a specific industry that we work closely with. I've worked with people from the side of spectrum. We were looking to get money to start rabbit farms with some of the colleges and different institutions in the city, all the way down to pet aquamation businesses. So it really doesn't have, there's really not one specific kind of business that we work with, but startups are definitely welcome. And as long as they have a business plan, we'll be able to continue forward.
How do people get in contact with you? Is there not only the website, but do you have social media platforms or a Facebook page for listeners to visit?
Yes, they could look us up on, we're on Facebook. We're also on Instagram, all cap on every platform. Definitely our website is the best way to get in touch with us. Again, that's alt-cap.org. If it's to get in touch with me specifically, justin@alt-cap.org, or any one of my colleagues that you'll see on the website will be able to help out.
And I want to add to that, AltCap exists to increase the flow of capital to communities and businesses not adequately served by mainstream financial institutions. It can be really overwhelming, I'm sure, for so many individuals, especially right now. It's like, what do we do now? So altcap.org is the website. Is there anything that you might want to offer our listeners that would be helpful through any other process or your organization? Any last
words? Sure. I would love to say that outside of these times, we do have different microloan products. We look at microloans of those loans that are up to $50,000. We have products that are in place for to help artists, products that are in place to help diversified contractors, home rehabbers. And during this time, we've really tried to take that step back to be able to provide the COVID relief that we believe that the community was drastically in need of. Everything that we were seeing around this time, maybe last April in 2020, when it comes to some of the products that we have currently, we're here to help have conversations or get you in the hands of someone who can. Also, we've put together a CPA technical assistance team that can assist business owners through their calculation process with PPP, knowing that business owners during this time have spent a lot of their focus just trying to keep the business afloat. Also, our small business owners are also working really closely with their families, just trying to provide for them through these businesses. So we've tried to put together some technical assistance that would allow them someone to lean on to get through the calculations. We've also built a partnership with CBIZ as a part of that technical assistance team to provide up to 25 to 30 minute free consultations with business owners who are also in need of asking some quick hitting questions as far as it pertains to PPP. So we would love to help out if you're a business owner out there who is still in need of some funding and would like to take advantage of the Paycheck Protection Program or have conversations about small business relief funding. Please, again, put in an intake form at alt-cap.org or reach out to me or one of my colleagues. My email address, again, is justin@alt-cap.org.
And Justin, just one other thing. What would help you to help them? What will you need just right off the bat, maybe one thing or a list of things? What do you need from a person who wants your support in helping in the small business relief? Is there any sort of, I suppose, an intake sort of paper or something? But what is it that you would need from a potential client?
So I would say just putting in that intake form really gives us a lot of the information that we'll need to get the conversation started. We ask different questions outside of just the name of their business, but what is it that they're needing? Do they have an idea of the amount of funding that they're needing? When or how long has their business been in operation? All of those quick-hitting questions really gives us the direction that we need to kind of take the conversation one way or another. Having your tax returns for the last couple of years, or if it's PPP, whichever year that you would like to apply for the funding and base it off of, that also helps. But those are things that we can get into. We know every situation is different, so the intake form really helps us to navigate through initially in those conversations.
Terrific. You know, because, it makes your job easier to help them, knowing what their needs are and the information at hand. I am sure that would really, kind of set that direction. Justin, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Any final words or advice that you want to give to our listeners?
I just want to just pass along words of optimism to everyone that's out there. We've made it through some really tough times. We'll continue to do our part to help. Definitely continue to lean on all of the organizations that are in Kansas City who are trying to do the same. And I just really want to thank you for giving me the time to share some of what our organization has been doing during this time.
You bet. And, come back anytime. We love hearing more about AltCap because it does help the community, and we're grateful to your service.
Thank you. I definitely will. I'll take you up on that offer.
Okay, very good. Say hello to Davin for me, please.
Will do.
Okay. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. That would be a lot of fun to play for today, and that is El Agua de la Vida, that's Salsa Celtica. And they are a Scottish group that plays a fusion of salsa music with traditional Scottish instruments, including elements of folk and jazz. So, yeah, a lot of fun. I want to say thanks so much to Bobby Joe Reed and Donna Jones. Also, Justin Ikarianwo. Next week, we're going to talk with folks from the Kauffman Center and the Nelson Atkins Museum. Stay tuned next for Jazz Afternoon with our wonderful, talented Jeff Harshbarger. We love our Jeff, and he'll be with you from 1 to 3. Don't go anywhere, and please take a look at the podcast. You can download those on our website, kkfi.org. And, I want to say be safe, be happy, and, honey, I'm coming home.
Hi, this is Arnold Young. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.